4 years ago, the band 21 Pilots released a hit song focusing on the pressures of adulthood and a yearning to return back to the relatively easy years of childhood. Titled Stressed Out, the song went to number one on the mainstream music charts. But judging from what we're hearing from researchers, parents, youth workers, educators, and kids themselves, stress and anxiety is increasingly common among our children and teens. What is anxiety? How is it manifesting itself in the lives of our kids? What are its causes? And how does the gospel speak to this new epidemic of anxiety among our kids? We'll be discussing strategies for navigating the epidemic of youth anxiety on this episode of Youth Culture Matters.
From the Center for Parent Youth Understanding, this is Youth Culture Matters. If you're a parent, youth worker, educator, counselor, grandparent, or anyone else who cares about kids, we're glad you've joined us for this practical, informative, and hope-filled podcast. This is a place where together we talk and think Christianly about the rapidly changing world of today's children, teens, and young adults.
Right out of the gate, we want to say thank you to everybody who's been listening to Youth Culture Matters. We've been tracking with the response to the podcast over the years. What number is this, Chris, we're recording right
this
now?
This is episode number 75.
75. That's unbelievable. 75. We're almost coming up on, we're almost coming up on 3 years of doing this together. The bond between us is just...
It's growing. It's
I couldn't come up with a word. You said
it's
growing.
Beautiful.
Yeah, kind of like
growing.
A fungus.
It's growing like our audience.
Yeah, like our audience, and the audience is growing steadily. And, you know, as I travel, I'm running into, you know, this last fall, running into more and more people who come up to me, go, hey, thanks for the podcast. And they'll mention a particular episode and how that episode has helped pull back the curtain on youth culture, help them understand a trend and begin to respond to the trend, deal with students, deal with parents, whatever. So we're getting great feedback. And I'm glad we're able to do this. You know, so thankful for the gift of technology and the ability to come into a studio that's well-equipped and to do this in amazingly cost-effective ways. So, Chris, you've done a good job, too, just putting this together. I have no idea what you do over there and what you're looking at on those screens.
Let's keep it that way.
Okay, all right. I'm trusting that it's technological stuff you're looking at.
Oh,
I'm
it's so sure. difficult you couldn't come close to understanding.
Yeah, well, that's probably true. You don't know how true that is, actually.
For those of our audience who has watched us on Facebook Live, they basically know I just sit here and hit the record button.
Right, and look at your lava lamp. Where is that thing, by the way? Is it over there?
Here, yeah.
Yeah, it's over there.
No. All right.
But we're grateful for everybody who's been listening
and
just excited about that. And I want to remind people, if you are listening, two things. Everything we talk about on the podcast, every book that's mentioned, every website, every resource, Chris will set up on cpyu.org on the podcast homepage. Go to cpyu.org, click on the podcast, Youth Culture Matters. On those pages there, you'll be able to find links to everything we talk about. So we want to encourage you to do that. Now, we know that many of you subscribe wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You subscribe to Youth Culture Matters. We want to encourage those of you who don't to do that. But you will have to come back to cpyu.org to find those links and things. So we're pretty excited about that and grateful for everybody who's plugged in.
Yeah, and we also want to mention, for those of you who do not know, we have another podcast, a very short 60-second podcast. It was actually a radio show that we started, how many years ago?
I would say 15.
It was close
15 to 17 years. We could go out and look at our timeline and see. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's more like 14.
14?
I think so.
I'm getting up and I'm going to go out right
now. I've been here for 15 years and we started it right after I joined staff. So
yeah,
something like that. But we've had a daily radio show, 60 seconds long, one minute long radio show that airs across the country on Christian radio stations. But just recently, at the end of last year, we put it on a podcast platform. So for those of you who subscribe to such things, you can use whatever you use to subscribe to Youth Culture Matters. You can also subscribe to Youth Culture Today with Walt Mueller. If you search for Youth Culture Today on any of your podcast platforms, you'll be able to find that. That should come up in the search, and it'll just be delivered to your inbox. Monday through Friday, just a one-minute quick little glimpse into stuff going on in youth culture. So it's a nice, short, concise way to you know, be up to date on stuff that's going on.
And yeah, let me add to this, because I think one of the things that is really important with both of these is just to be able to go listen and then give a rating, rank it, so that way it shoots up on the lists for those that are looking for podcasts that might not be familiar quite yet with Youth Culture Matters or the CPYU Radio podcast. Both could fly up the charts if you just take a moment and sit down and do a quick rating on the podcast itself, because it helps get noticed.
Yeah, good. And if I may say this, you know, part of what we're trying to do with the 1 minute youth culture today, as we update people on what's happening in youth cultures, we want youth workers to use that. It's free. Use that. Push that out. You know, make parents aware of this. Pass it on to parents. Get them listening. Get them subscribing, because it's one way for them to listen to the culture. And we do work very hard in that, to not only offer information and analysis, but to offer suggestions on how to answer cultural trends with the unchanging truths of the gospel. And that's what we try to do here. So, yeah, thanks for that recommendation, Jason. I have no idea how to do all that, but I'll get there. I don't use iTunes.
Is that, you can ask
does that
Chris.
Put me, does that make me – do you use iTunes, Chris?
Not a chance.
Oh, man, here we go. Now we're going to get going on this. But we know – that's the platform most used, right?
Yes. Most of our audience is listening through iTunes, so I just alienated a good 60% of our audience.
Yeah, yeah. So if you're using iTunes, go ahead and rate that. We appreciate you.
Wouldn't know. Never mind. I don't utilize
How
iTunes,
can you assume
right?
that I don't know when you don't even tell me what it is that I don't know? Well, give me a chance to answer here.
No. I'm just thinking, like, iTunes, like, I don't really interface much with iTunes anymore. I just use the Apple Podcast.
That's it. That's what I should
Apple
be talking
device.
About. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, but sure, some people are going to be iTunes. Some people are going to be Google Play. Some people.
Right.
It's just going to be Apple Podcasts. There's a variety of ways, but we're just really glad that whatever
how many
the way
platforms
is that
are
you
out
get
there
it, we're helping oh.
Like if you do a Google search for Youth Culture Matters, it's just like you get some you know throwbacks to you know links to our site,
sure,
but then there's all these I mean how many podcast platforms are out there?
Well,
I mean,
our RSS feed for the podcast and the radio show goes out to 6 or 7 that we've established ourselves, but then other platforms as well can pick up the RSS feed and publish it that way. Some of which we might not even be aware of.
Yeah, so. I see these things pop up. Yeah, so, wow, all right. Cool. Hey, let me ask you guys a question. Let me shift gears here. I want to talk about fear. We're going to have a little conversation, Jason and I and Chris today about fear and anxiety, more about anxiety because that's a big deal with kids right now, but I was thinking about fears and phobias, you know, phobias. So do you guys have any, like, what's your number one phobia? This would be a great question to ask students. Great conversation starter around the table, you know, as a family's together eating.
Mine's arachnophobia, spiders.
Really?
Big, small, any, it could be the tiniest little spider. I'm running the opposite direction.
Do you make noise when you run? Besides just the sound
like,
of your,
are you, like, yeah,
like
screaming like
yeah.
a girl?
Yeah.
No.
Well, this is good to know.
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to put that.
But I'll actually
you know
say
now
this,
I know there's a way
there's
to figure
probably,
this out.
There's probably a phobia term for this too. But maybe even worse than spiders is you know I like to be in the woods a lot outdoors walking through a spider web.
Oh, you don't like that.
Because then you have no idea. Maybe a spider is on you. Maybe there's a spider somewhere crawling around there. Maybe there was a spider on that web. Maybe there wasn't. That feeling of walking through spider web, you'll see me. I'll lose it. I'll start convulsing and throwing my arms around, trying to get the spider web off me. Yeah.
That, so that's what you're saying is you don't like Halloween.
That's a whole nother podcast there. Hey, when you watched, we just had Christmas, right? So Which Home Alone movie was it where Kevin puts this? Is it the first one?
That's the first
Does that scene freak you out when he drops that? What is that, like a black widow, some big hairy thing?
I think.
Tarantula.
Tarantula,
okay, yeah.
Yeah, that. Well, I've seen it enough times now that I don't get too weirded out, but I certainly, if I start picturing myself in that position, no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah. Jason, what's your fear? Do you have one? Like, from childhood, can you remember? Because I'm trying to think back.
Here's something that actually happens. It doesn't necessarily happen in real life. But when I am watching a movie and it's anything to do with heights and someone's climbing or they're like Mission Impossible 2 has that opening scene where like Tom Cruise is climbing and he has to jump. My palms will begin to sweat. Like I get really nervous and I don't know what it is. Like it's just this I go out and I'll go hiking and I'll be on trails where I'm really high up and I don't have any fear then, but when I'm watching a movie and someone is climbing or they're really high up and you get an angle or a shot where it's just straight down, that just causes my hands to sweat.
Yeah. You know what? I'm with you on that because I was going to say heights is mine. So even now still going up on a ladder, I'm just a little shaky. I'm just not confident. I just, you know, like I'm always thinking this thing's – it's kind of like talking about Christmas movies, you know, Chevy Chase is up on the ladder and the ladder comes off the roof or it, you know, drops down, you know, it doesn't hold the extension ladder. That kind of stuff freaks me out. I thought, Jason, maybe your fear would be, since we were talking about Home Alone, getting hit in the head with a full paint can that's on the end of a rope that gets dropped over. No?
No fear of that. Although I will say that this holiday season, what was great is that our oldest watched Home Alone for the first time.
Nice.
And reliving that experience of how funny that was the first time you watched that was that whole scene of all the different things that happened to the two criminals.
Yeah.
Marv and
Harry.
Marv and Harry.
Yeah, Harry and Marv.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways.
Well, you know, I think back, you know, if everybody would think back to their childhood and their fears, somehow those things just stay with us. You know, I didn't like the height thing. I didn't like, you know, the playground swings. We had those big, huge swings. And just as a boy, everyone else is jumping off and you feel the pressure to do that. And
well, it's weird. You know, you say about that as a kid, there was a movie called I think it was Arachnophobia.
Arachnophobia, yeah.
I read the book as a child and watched the movie. I can't imagine doing that now. I don't know if that sparked my fear or if I just decided to read it in spite of my fear. I have no idea. But I actually read the book as a kid and watched the movie.
Yeah. Well, if you're going to talk about fears with kids, go ahead and go online. And there are websites that have lists, these massive lists of phobias that have been named and documented. Here's three for you to see if you know what these are. Electorophobia. What would you guess that is? Electoro. Not electric, but electoro. A. As if that's going to help me saying it's an A instead of an E. Yeah. So that, what that is, Jason, you got a guess?
I was going to say a fear of electricity.
No, it's fear of chickens. All right. How about this one? Teratophobia. T-E-R-A-T-O phobia. This one you'll never get. Fear of giving birth to monsters.
Oh, my.
Like, could you imagine having that fear and finding out you're going to have a child? 9 months of absolute panic. And just, like, how would you ever develop that? Where does that come from?
Watching too many alien movies.
Yeah. All right, here's the last one. This is one that actually applies to us, Chris.
Actually, you know, as we look just at for Jason. That second one real quick, I think that their fear would also have to be that it's going to, instead of you being born in the human way, it would be much like the alien way where they're just going to exit your
burst
chest.
Out of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
How about this one? Jasonophobia. I just made that one up. All right. Maybe there is one that's named. I don't know. But here it is. Here's the one I want to give you. Pogonophobia. Now, I know what you're thinking. Like, immediately you're going, fear of jumping on a pogo stick, right?
Sure.
Maybe I'm making, maybe you're not thinking that. I don't know. Here's what it is. Fear of beards. Fear of beards. I'm feeling it right now as I look at Jason a little bit. Fear of beards. Yeah. So those are some of the phobias.
That would be really weird if you have pagonophobia and you actually have a beard.
Yeah. Like, what if you had...
Talk about facing your fears.
But what if you had pogonophobia and teratophobia and you gave birth to a bearded monster? It would just be that had chicken legs. And you had electorophobia. I mean, it's just, you could just go on and on with these, but it's amazing. So go ahead and ask kids about these, ask about their fears. I mean, fears are real, and that's certainly something, you know, we've looked at here, because fear and anxiety, and the fact that in the scriptures, the most oft-repeated commandment, the most common commandment is what? Do not be afraid, do not fear, do not fear. So, yeah, interesting.
Well, and I think that this leads exactly to what we want to be able to discuss on today's episode, which is fear and anxiety, teens and anxiety, which, while I know something that you've done some work on, you recently did a seminar on, and I think this just leads well into this conversation. Let me ask this. I'm just curious even how you got started with putting this together with teens and anxiety, because there's often a reason why you put together one of your seminars. Yeah. And so I'm just really curious what led you to even developing this in the first place. Obviously it's a real need, especially as we look at youth culture.
Yeah.
But, what led you to develop this just recently?
Well, you know what we do here. We watch culture. So when we hear about a trend or we see statistics on a certain thing spiking, or it's getting a lot of traction in the news media, we want to figure out, you know, what is this all about? What's going on? And certainly over the last few years, we've heard more and more kids say, I'm so stressed out, I'm so anxious. And then Time Magazine ran that cover a little over 2 years ago in November of 2016, where it had the girl on the cover, and it, you know, talked about the epidemic of teen anxiety and the epidemic of teen stress. And certainly the counselors that we talk to, the counselors that we interact with, have said that they're seeing this. We've had educators on here before, guidance counselors, school administrators. They're saying it's off the charts. And as I started to listen to this, I was even hearing about kids who are some of the best and the brightest in our middle schools and high schools who, it would seem to me, they would be the ones, you know, I think back to my own experience, they would be the ones that would be most excited about going to school because it's a place where they experience success, you know, and a place where they achieve. Whereas guys like me are the ones who should wake up in the morning and go, oh, man, I can't, you know. But kids, they're not going, these best and the brightest are not getting up and going to school. The anxiety and stress they're feeling is so debilitating that their parents can't get them to school. And schools increasingly are making accommodations so that they can learn at home or in alternative ways just because it's so debilitating to them. And so, you know, when we approach this here, when I started to look at this, it is not as a counselor, and I want to make that clear right out of the gate. It's as a culture watcher. And, you know, I do have a history in the past of, before I get into what I'm doing now, before I get into youth ministry full-time, working in the mental health field, not as a trained professional, but as what they call a mental health technician. This was years ago in a private psychiatric hospital. And what we saw as evidence of, it wasn't so much stress and anxiety as it was, and we talked about this beforehand, mental illness, some drug-induced psychosis, things like that. Kids would have evidence of what we see now, you know, with kids who say they're stressful. So things like cutting and such, it's not across the board. We would see that in kids, but it wasn't as widespread as it is now. In fact, it's interesting that when I think back to my own life, that's the first place I experienced stress and anxiety, was when I was working in that place, because what I was seeing, what I was engaging with, the brokenness was so deep and so wide and so intense that without even knowing it, over the course of time, I developed some nervous stomach issues, you know, like gastritis and other other things like that, if anybody's ever had that, where you're just doubled over in pain, and it was caused by stress and anxiety. And I'll just be honest, when I stopped working there, it dissipated. I was fine. So that, you know, it's like one of the most stressful things I ever experienced, but there's a big difference. We talked out of the gate about this. Maybe we should talk about that now before we went on to record today, the difference between the kind of anxiety we're going to talk about and that which is diagnosable, you know, in a, something like the DSM, which is what counselors use, where we would, you know, diagnose, you know, disorders, mental illness, that sort of thing. Do you guys want to say anything about that? Or?
Well, I think just making sure that you put that caveat here at the beginning, I think is going to be really important, because we're going to have some listeners that are going to want to have that separated a little bit. And so I think that's always helpful. But I also, I think what will be incredibly helpful for those that are engaging in this, you made some assumptions to even start the seminar that I think are even helpful here for this episode. And that's specifically around the two types or two basic types of anxiety that you were talking about throughout the course of the seminar, but that we see today. Could you maybe just highlight those two?
Yeah. Well, one would come under the category of normal fears and worries of life. Somebody who was real, well, a couple of guys who were really helpful for me as I was reading and learning, especially from a Christian perspective, were David Pallison and Ed Welch, and I may refer to them a little bit later. They're involved with the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation in Glenside, Pennsylvania, but they've done a lot of work on this from a spiritual perspective, and I think that's how we have to look at it, because when we're working with kids, we've got a huge population of kids who are dealing with some of the normal fears and worries of life, and I think the scriptures speak to those. But then we move into this more debilitating and nagging type of anxiety. And I think that can be subdivided as well. I think on the one hand, there's this widespread anxiety that's gone kind of viral among kids as they talk about being stressed out and being anxious. And then there are some who it's morphed into, or it's actually been something they've been dealing with their whole life, these anxiety disorders. And there are numerous types of those. In fact, Chris is going to put a handout up that runs through what some of those main, it'll be on the webpage for the podcast, but what some of those main types of anxiety disorders are that are diagnosable that are mentioned in the DSM, along with symptoms of those. Those are not what I focused on. I wanted to look at this more widespread, generalized anxiety that kids are feeling, how it's playing out and where it comes from.
That's really good. Maybe before we take a quick break, because I think that there's some really good stuff that we can dive into around the realities and then even some reasons and responses. Before we do, though, maybe before we take a break, what would you say as followers of Jesus we need to endeavor to address? Or what are some ways that we can do this that you set up for this conversation when you did the seminar in the past?
Yeah. You know, well, the way we operate here, I mean, this is a way I've learned to operate as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, on anything that you see in the culture. So you see the issue. Here we're talking about anxiety. It could be something else. It could be substance abuse. It could be, you know, learning how to deal with music and media. We've talked here about marketing. There are numerous things we could talk about. In this case, anxiety. I think what we have to do is look at, you know, what is the problem, but then say, how is the cultural narrative addressing this? What does the cultural narrative say it is, and how do we remedy it? And what does the, as followers of Christ, what does the biblical narrative say about this, what it is, and how we remedy it? And there will, from time to time, be some overlap between the two. And when that happens, we certainly should celebrate as followers of Christ where the cultural narrative might get it right. But at the same time, I think we need to challenge and push back on, maybe even offer a corrective, we could say, to where the cultural narrative is getting it wrong, both in terms of, you know, causes and solutions. So, you know, for example, we were talking ahead of time I think way too many people are quick to medicate. That's just part of our culture right now. You know, if you've got a problem, try to fix it with a pill. And that certainly needs to be done in many, many cases. But I think we jump the gun on that many times. And I think sometimes, just to differentiate between the cultural narrative and the biblical narrative, sometimes there are truths that we can embrace as we preach the gospel to ourselves that God wants us to understand, and God's, you know, through His Spirit wants us to integrate into our lives, that can help alleviate and serve as a remedy to our anxiety, rather than jumping right into medication, which again, I would say some people, you know, that is certainly justified and necessary, I'm sure. I'm not a medical doctor, and I'm not a psychiatrist, and I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a counselor. But good Christian counselors will tell you that there are times when that is necessary. But I think we need to start with spiritual answers.
That's good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, come back to this conversation in just one moment. Thanks for listening to Youth Culture Matters.
I want to tell you about one of our best-kept resource secrets here at CPYU. For the last 14 years, we've produced a one-minute daily radio spot called Youth Culture Today that's carried on over 800 radio stations in North America, and which can be listened to through our online home at cpyu.org. Recently, we've relaunched, rebooted, and rebranded Youth Culture Today so that it will reach more parents and youth workers with timely and practical tips on how to help kids navigate the challenges and opportunities of living in today's world. We encourage you to visit our homepage at cpyu.org to experience a one-minute daily dose of youth culture that will better prepare you to reach the kids you know and love. Or search for Youth Culture Today on your favorite podcast platform. Youth Culture Today is one more free resource we've created to help and support you as youth workers and parents.
Welcome back to Youth Culture Matters. We're having a conversation around anxiety with Walt, and I just want to pick back up where we left off, because I have seen this just through the lens of my wife, who works on a college campus, and I know that one of the number one issue, I think it's like the number one health center concern on college campuses, and that being anxiety. Is this something that you found in your research to be pretty true? Because it seems like it's just exploding. As I talk to other health counselors at other college campuses, as I travel, in your research, is this something that you found?
Yeah, and Jason, people need to know you're embedded there on a Christian college campus, and
that's
it's
right.
No different than anywhere else. I mean, this is what they're saying consistently across the board is the number one healthcare concern. So some of the latest statistics on this, if you just look at how it's trending up, the American College Health Association does an annual survey, and the percentage of students reporting overwhelming anxiety during the prior year. In 2011, that was 50%. 5 years later, in 2016, it was 62%. I don't know what the number is right now. The Higher Wow. Education Research Institute does a survey of incoming college freshmen every year. And the number of freshmen who said, quote, "I felt overwhelmed by all I had to do during the previous year." And we know that youth workers know this, parents know this, that rush to figure out, you know, starting at earlier and earlier ages now, what I'm going to do with the rest of my life, particularly if they're going to go to college, the college decision, that can be very overwhelming. Well, the percentage that said I felt overwhelmed by all I had to do during the previous year in 1985 was 18%. Probably when I was in school, it was a negative number. You know, when I was a high school senior in 1974, I don't know. 2010, that number had jumped to 29%. And then in 2016, again, just over 6 years, a six-year span, it had jumped from 29% to 41%. And I'm going to mention this. You know, when I was doing this, I was not only looking at the research, I was not only talking to students, but I was talking to youth workers as well. And one youth worker friend of mine said to me, he said, "I have sent more students to the Horsham Clinic, which, by the way, is the place where I worked, the mental health facility, the private psychiatric hospital that I worked in. He said, I've sent more students to Horsham Clinic, 7 out of his youth group, this past year than in my prior 23 years of youth ministry. He goes on to say, it's crazy, and this depression, suicide, anxiety is becoming an epidemic for youth workers in all contexts.
Wow.
So it is. It's on definitely on the rise.
There's something that I just want to differentiate, because I when I think about anxiety and then also I think about fear, specifically with some of the conversation we've had, is there a good way to separate the two of those, fear and anxiety? Did you find a way to kind of
And this is not original to me. I never could have come up with this, but this was so helpful from Ed Welch, who I mentioned earlier from the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. He says that fear, and youth workers need to hear this, parents need to hear this, fear is something that is identifiable. It's a definite something that scares you. A fear is something that focuses on specifics. So we talked about, Chris, spiders. You know, ladders, heights, movie scenes, like you said, Jason, where things are high, you know, people flying, whatever it is, you know. So that's a fear. Anxiety, Welch says, is a more general feeling of dread. It's a sense that a bad thing is about to happen. He describes it as, you know, you're scanning the environment, knowing that there's something out there that's bad and it's going to get you if you don't identify it and get it first. Now, he, as a Christian, offers this perspective, which I think is great. And this is where, you know, our conversation prior to going on here and recording, where we're talking about mental illness, diagnosable anxiety disorders, that sort of thing. He is saying that I think this is true. We need to address this with young people, because with more and more saying, I'm stressed out, I have anxiety. He says there's a theological component to anxiety that we need to understand. And he says it's a sense that God is not going to get this right, that God's provision is not going to be enough for me. So the Greek word for anxiety can actually be translated to be in pieces. You feel like you're coming apart. And I think if we understand that theological reality, that's where those of us in youth ministry who are working with kids and those of us who are parents who are raising and nurturing kids, we have to now work backwards and say, okay, if this is an issue, where are we not preaching the gospel sufficiently to young people to help them understand that God has never gotten it wrong and God will be faithful and get it right? And we do read about people all through the scriptures who feel this way. We have to instill in them a sense of God's sovereignty, God's faithfulness, God's power. And if we're not doing that, we can fully expect this, you know, to become even more of an epidemic, even among our Christian kids. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it does. That helps quite a bit. I think the caveat, just even going back to the very beginning, is just the separation of where we're talking about this versus the mental illness side of things, which we already kind of laid out. And I think that is incredibly helpful as we're continuing the conversation, because one of the things that I really would love to dive into, because I mean, you stated something there with from 85, there were, I think, 16%,
18%.
18%. And then in 2010, it was 29%. So we saw an increase of about 11% over, what was that, 25 years? And then in 6 years, you saw another 12% increase. So it just truncated. Like the amount of anxiety has increased so quickly. And it leads me to ask the question, why? What are some reasons that you found in your research that are causing this?
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I learned is that, and you know this, you know, if you work with kids and you counsel kids at all, is that no two stories are alike. You know, they're never identical. Now, there can be common threads in stories, but I think what we're seeing culturally is really a perfect storm here. And this is where we need to sit with kids and listen to kids and let them tell their story, because there are multiple storm fronts of causation. And the question we need to ask is, you know, what are the reasons that exist in this particular young student's life, this young man, this young woman? And I came up with, as I was looking at this, there are multiple categories of reasons. And I'm going to rifle through them very quickly here. I'm just going to basically list them. Stop me if you want to ask about them, but I'm going to read what these are. So first main category would be spiritual reasons. And this would include things like, hey, the reality that we are broken. Remember what Augustine said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee. And theologians have talked about this, that this is actually an anxiety that can be good in the sense that it drives us to the one that we were made for. When we feel incomplete, when we know that something's wrong, when we realize that our life is in fact in pieces because we have not sought wholeness in Christ. I think, too, for the Christian, once a student comes to faith, we now engage, as we read in 1 Peter, with an enemy. And the enemy, 1 Peter tells us, 1 Peter 5:8, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So we're engaged in battle with the evil one. And this causes anxiety. I mean, we all in this room, we know this, just at the simple level of working for a ministry that's pushing on the kingdom of darkness, there will be pushback. Idolatry, we all struggle with that, making created things ultimate things, that leaves us empty. And I think unconfessed sin, when you read David in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, I think there was a component of fear and anxiety there. The cares of the world, you know, things take our mind off the Lord, crowding out our spiritual thoughts, you know, money, health, future, all that. And then one last one would be, and I've alluded to this already, a spiritual reason would be a lack of a spiritual foundation. I think about that old song we used to sing about the wise man and the foolish man. You know, when the storms of life come, if we haven't had a strong foundation built into our lives, and especially when we're younger, that has to happen thanks to our parents and our youth workers and our teachers working together. Everything's going to come apart. So there's spiritual reasons. Developmental reasons, kids are young. They don't have a lot of life experience. They don't know how to handle difficulty. They've got to navigate complex life changes. Their brains aren't fully formed. I think that adds to it. There's a whole category of cultural reasons. Think about the world we live in, 24/7 news cycle, mean world worries. Kids are over-programmed and over-scheduled. There's too much happening. They're not allowed to be kids. By the way, this is off the charts in Asian cultures, which are honor-shame cultures, where there are high expectations for kids. And I have talked to some youth workers who are working in white, middle, and upper-middle-class youth ministry settings where they're saying they're starting to see the same symptoms of stress and anxiety that youth workers in Asian cultures, they're seeing this in their white upper-middle-class kids because of all the stuff that they're having to deal with. Kids are over-pressured. You know, all this stuff just contributes. All kinds of cultural reasons that happen that lead to this.
Real quick, when it comes to social media, how pervasive was that in some of the research that you were looking at? Because, you know, when you're talking about some of the worries and then even some of the examples you just gave, social media plays a pretty large role. So I'm just curious, when it came to this cultural reason, how influential was it? Because even looking at the data, I think of 2010 to 2016 and the increase in anxiety in just that short period of time. Well, I also think in that short period of time, social media has taken on a whole other life of its own.
And it's reshaped the life experience for teenagers. I am so glad. I hear people say this who are my age all the time. I am so glad I grew up without social media. I'm so glad I grew up without a smartphone. I mean, I'm appreciative of it when I see this with kids. So we came up with a whole nother category that we would put social media under of technological reasons that went along with, you know, cyberbullying, the inability to wait because we want everything to happen fast. But in answer to your question, a great resource that I would point people to that I can't even begin to summarize here and do it justice is Gene Twenge's book, iGen, which we have students read all the time now. When I say students, college students, seminary students are reading this, because what she does is she goes into how social media has fueled this epidemic of anxiety and really misshapen a whole generation of kids in this book, iGen. And just the name there, you know, equates a whole generation with social media, what it's done to them.
Wow. Any other reasons that you would point out that would be important for our listeners to be aware of? Because these are already some really good ones. Any
yeah.
others?
Well, just a couple of main categories. Relational reasons, you know, poor parenting, family breakdown. That causes chaos in a young person's yeah. life. So we need to be aware of that. And certainly working preventively, our churches need to push back and work to build strong families and equip parents to nurture their kids in the faith. Circumstantial reasons, just adversity and difficulties. When there's a death in the family or you experience trauma, maybe you've grown up in a home where there's been abuse. And if you're working with kids who are dealing with this, counseling is definitely needed. And then here's one last one I'm going to give you, and then we could probably take a break. But this was interesting because several years ago, this was back in the early 90s, I had a friend who was older than me. I was talking about the music that was coming out of the northwest part of the country, you know, the grunge music up where you live, upper left. And I was saying that it's filled with angst. And the person looked at me and said, it just seems like it's the right thing now for kids to do, be filled with angst and express their angst. Even if they're not feeling it, express it, because that's the way to fit in. And I think there's a component of this as well, that as stress becomes and anxiety become more widespread, kids who want to fit in talk about being stressed and talk about being anxious even when they're not. It's kind of a social contagion, if we could say it that way. And I think there are a lot of kids who are buying into this. You know, self-injury is like this. We've talked in the past about rapid onset gender dysphoria, the research that's being done on that, anorexia, all these things. I think there's that component as well. So, you know, you don't want to be left out, so you got to be anxious.
Wow. That's powerful. It's something definitely for us to be able to consider. And I really appreciate many of these, because they're something for us to really think about, especially as we look across, excuse me, our own youth group, and then maybe even as parents in our own home. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we will come back. And one of the last things I would really love for us to do, which I'm really looking forward to hearing, or just maybe some responses that we can have. Before we do that, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Here at CPYU, we continue to create resources designed to help youth workers encourage, educate, and equip parents to nurture their children in the faith as they grow up in a rapidly changing world. To that end, we've just released a new installment in our easy-to-use, plug-and-play series of parent meetings we call Just Add Parents. This new installment is called Raising Marketing Savvy Kids. The meeting is designed to teach parents about the role marketing plays in shaping the beliefs and behaviors of kids, along with how to nurture their kids into thinking critically and Christianly about the 4,000 to 10,000 marketing messages they encounter every day. The meeting includes 3 video teaching segments, along with questions to facilitate lively small group discussion following each segment. Parents will learn how to teach their kids to use our simple 7 ad filtering questions. You can use this Just Add Parents resource during one parent meeting, or you can divide it up over the course of 3 parent meetings or even a weekend retreat for parents. To learn more about this new resource and to order your copy, visit us online at cpyu.org. Youth workers, we've got your parent meeting covered. All you need to do is just add parents.
Welcome back to Youth Culture Matters. We're going to just continue our conversation around anxiety and finish up with just looking at some responses. And I know we don't have a lot of time to be really exhaustive here, but Walt, I would really love to hear maybe some responses that you think would be really good with the short time that we have left.
Yeah. Well, I think responses would fall, and we say this all the time here at CPYU, into three categories. We talk about the prophetic, you know, how does the scripture speak to this? We talk about the preventive, what are some steps we can take to keep kids from going down the road of, in this case, becoming anxious and stressed out, whatever cultural reality we're talking about, you know, how do we prevent that? And then lastly would be the redemptive, you know, what do we do when we have a young person who is engaged in this? And certainly this is where I'll just, because I'm not going to go into that, but I will mention a good counselor, good Christian counselor who sees the scriptures as part of the solution, or as the solution and not the problem. A good Christian counselor who's been trained in dealing with teenagers and anxiety would be really helpful. But let me focus on that first category, and that is the prophetic, because this is what's been most helpful to me. And granted, you know, I'm in my early 60s here, and I feel like I'm finally learning to do what our friend Scotty Smith advises followers of Jesus to do all the time, and that's preach the gospel to yourself. You know, that you are not just waiting to sit in a pew or in a chair and have someone from up front teach you about the scriptures, but immerse yourself in the scriptures and preach the scriptures to yourself. I think this is what it means to meditate on scripture. And I think that doing this is really helpful. It's been helpful for me with nervousness or stress or anxiety. And I think even for those who would have anxiety disorders, this is important. It's a component to look at gospel truth, and what it speaks to us is important. So here are some suggestions, and again, not exhaustive, but some prophetic strategies, prophetic realities that we can institute in our own lives and in the lives of the kids that we know and love, whether you're a parent or a youth worker. So the first one is, you know, dig deep into the well of the gospel and fill your own life with it. And the reason I would say that is you can only draw out of yourself what is in there. And so for those of us who are leading kids, we need to fill ourselves with the gospel so that we in turn can pour out into the lives of the kids. Then what do we pour out into their lives? David Pallison and Ed Welch have been really helpful with this one, and I love the way they state this. You know, teach kids who it is that they're looking for. In other words, they're longing for a relationship with God. They want that restored, whether they know it or not. And all anxiety, whether it's, you know, the anxiety that's at the extreme of anxiety disorders, or anxiety that's just more this generalized, you know, stress that's out there among kids, it's all rooted in the brokenness of our world and points to the fact that we're looking for God. So for the kid who doesn't know Christ, get them to see that they're looking for a relationship with God through Christ. For the young person who does know Christ, because we are certainly not immune as followers of Christ from anxiety and stress, we need to see that as a call from God to go deeper in their submission to Christ. We read in Romans 8:22 that all creation groans. So help kids to see and hear that anxiety is a groaning for restoration. I do that in my own life. I need to be reminding myself of that all the time as we live in this broken world. Does that make sense, Jason? Did I explain that?
I
think that spiritual component of it is, it's like creation, fall, redemption, restoration. We're all groaning for that restoration, but we're living in the world, a world of brokenness, and we need to seek that shalom.
Yeah, it's so good. I really appreciate, as you're talking about the prophetic, you come back to many themes that are within Scripture that I think really are helpful when we're talking about this subject. I know we don't have a lot of time to be exhaustive. We already said that, but I just really appreciate the way that you have wanted to look at the biblical truth of anxiety and worry. You've looked at anxiety and the cross. You also looked at the reality, and we've talked about this on the podcast many times, the reality of the spiritual struggle, oppression, opposition that is present in Scripture.
Yeah.
We can't go into all of those, but I do think that that's really important. And I don't know if there's any one one or two or three things that you just want to quickly grab from that that you think might be really helpful for our listeners as they're thinking about their own responses,
yeah,
or directing them to help them frame their own response.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about scriptural references? Is that what you asked?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just a few. You know, so these are the things you can preach to yourselves. I mentioned already, you know, the most frequent command in the Bible is don't be afraid or fear not. You know, it's stated in a variety of ways. 365 times. That's pretty amazing. And the reason for that is God wants us to know that he is near. So in Philippians 4:6, we're told, do not be anxious about anything. You know, God understands our anxiety. He realizes that the fact that he commands us, says, I realize this is an issue for you. What Jesus says in Matthew 6:27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? I need to preach that to myself. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Preach that to yourself. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Preach that to yourself. David Pallison said this. I love this when I heard him say, you have good reasons to be afraid. The world is broken and out of control. You're broken. But you have better reasons, Pallison says, for trusting God, because God is with you. And that's what it means to see God as a redeemer. And I think, too, excuse me, we need to go to the cross, because we realize that as humans, we're victims of anxiety. But because we are Christians, we are, as the scriptures say, conquerors of anxiety. And the reason for this is the cross. Jesus took all of our anxieties on himself on the cross and conquered them. It's an amazing expression of grace. There's a Swiss Catholic theologian who was very helpful to me. He's written a book called The Christian in Anxiety. His name is Hans Urs von Balthasar. That's a tough one to say. He wrote this in his book. He said, human fear has been completely and definitively conquered by the cross. Anxiety is one of the authorities, powers, and dominions over which the Lord triumphed on the cross and which he carried off captive and placed in chains to make use of as he wills. And so we need to be realize that. And some anxiety is redemptive because, again, it pushes us back to Christ. I love what Spurgeon said. You know, you talked, Jason, about the reality of spiritual struggle, oppression, and opposition. And we read that in John 10, we have a good shepherd. There's an enemy who is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but we're in the hands of the good shepherd. Spurgeon says, you know, that the enemy roams the earth even though he's defeated. He says the evil spirits of hell must acknowledge to their own misery God's undoubted supremacy. And even when allowed to roam the earth, one ankle is chained. And that's so helpful.
Yeah.
And the last thing I would say is this. You know, we need to help our kids see a theology of faithful protection that Jesus does say in Matthew 28:20, I'm with you always. And that includes right now in the midst of my anxiety. So, you know, again, these are just ways to preach the gospel to yourself. And one more thing I'd add. And we've talked about this here before. We've had podcasts on this. It's just suffering, that suffering is redemptive, that God actually allows our anxieties for our good and his glory. And I know that can be tough to swallow, but God uses these difficult things to winnow off of us, to help us shed those things that keep us from being more like him and trusting in him. And God uses it to reshape us into his image. You know, so keep remembering that. The difficulties of life, even the anxieties, are there for our good and his glory. It's just a total reorientation of how we think about life, that we're not at the center of the universe, but God is.
So maybe real quickly, give us maybe one or two preventive responses. Those were some prophetic responses. What would be one or two preventative responses that you share?
Boy, that's a good question. You know, one would be just sleep and exercise, which kids are not getting. As a cultural trend, more time on social media, overnight sleeping with phones, they're not getting. We go over this all the time on our one-minute radio spot. Seems like every 6 weeks we talk about sleep at least once. You know, 9 hours, 15 minutes of uninterrupted sleep. A lack of sleep, a lack of exercise, living a sedentary life, that contributes to anxiety and stress. So that's one. And then the other one I would say would be a Sabbath, just taking a Sabbath. We should probably do a whole podcast on Sabbath because it's one of the commandments, and God made us for a rhythm of work and rest. And when we're not resting, life becomes stressful. I know that. You know that. We lament with each other all the time. I got to power down. I got to step away. I've got to take some time to refuel, and we need to do that. So we need to, as parents and as youth workers, instill that into our kids.
That's so good. And then in the same respect, what about redemptive? What are one or two redemptive strategies that you would look at?
Yeah. Well, again, you know, when someone is struggling with anxiety, I think what we need to do is show patience and grace. You know, this may not be our experience to just say, hey, suck it up, move on, you know, is not really helpful. But I think we need to connect them with someone who can help them deal with their anxiety, especially as it moves into some of these disorders that are being diagnosed in the DSM. And you can actually find that handout we're going to post on the website, cpyu.org, with the podcast that talks about what some of these different diagnosable disorders are. But get them in to a counselor. And then certainly, while they're engaged with a counselor who can help them, be praying for them. You know, really work to be praying for them.
That's really good. Well, thank you so much for sharing this. I would not be alone in saying this is really helpful just for us to be able to consider as youth workers, as parents. These are just the tell the times, and so being able to look at this and have resources is really important. Let me just say this. I know you might not, but I think it's important for me to be able to share that this seminar, in its completeness or in its
entirety,
it's an entirety, is available for you to be able to have Walt come out and share. And obviously, there's so much more that is needed to be able to discuss. We've got a limited time here, but maybe have him out to your church to be able to come and share this seminar. Because this is just a very short portion of what is an exhaustive look at this issue. So
let me say something to that, Jason. Look, I'm just going to confess this. I mean, you know, putting this a seminar together and presenting it actually made me anxious because I'm not a counselor, right? So
yeah,
and you know, I am painfully aware of how much I don't know. And I always realize that the more you learn, the more you realize the thing you learn the most is how much you don't know. And so I feel very ill-equipped, let me say, to speak on this with any sort of authority. However, every time I've given this seminar, I've been shocked at the number of parents, and even more so, the number of youth workers who are connected with kids who will come to me afterwards and say, that was really, really helpful. Now, I've designed it to be helpful, but what I'm learning is we know so little that even just this amount of information is infinitely much more than what most people have. We just aren't thinking about this. So I'm going to endeavor to learn as much as I can about this and continue to learn about it. It's not the be-all, cure-all, but it's a start. And I think it's a way for us to, hopefully the podcast has been helpful for people, a way for us to start to think about this and address it.
That's great. Wow. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here in a short period of time, but we're going to be sure to include many links, resources, that handout that's been mentioned a few times, even a link to the seminar that's available. We just want to say thank you again for listening to Youth Culture Matters, partaking in what has been 75 episodes. We're so excited, and we're excited for 75 more, but we just want to say thanks, and until next time, happy podcasting. We'll be back with Youth Culture Matters here soon. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us for Youth Culture Matters, a podcast from the Center for Parent-Youth Understanding. If you'd like to learn more about today's youth culture, visit our website at cpyu.org. And if you have any questions, comments, or feedback, email us at podcast@cpyu.org.